All right, welcome back. We wrapped up the 2023 class this week with a few more signees for Nebraska. Matt Rhule told a good story about how they came across DeAndre Barnes, all their hard work. That was just one of the five more that they took in this class. Brian Munson, we'll wrap up this class with him, and then we'll look ahead a little bit. Munson, happy Friday. How are you?
Hey, man. How are you?
Excellent. So the story about DeAndre Barnes, I thought was pretty interesting. And how they had coaches out in Colorado and relationships, you know, one thing led to another. Coach said, hey, I think we got some, a high school coach said, hey, I think we got somebody who is really under the radar here. And you should take a look at, took a look at the tape, and some measurables and said, he sort of checks all the boxes. There's a couple guys like that in this class that they ended up signing, and Barnes ended up just sort of being the latest of them.
Yeah, and I totally get why Nebraska was probably just cruising right past Regis Jesuit. I mean, they had lost Hayden Moore. They had hosted Andrew Metzger, and Metzger decided to go to Kansas State. So they had, you know, probably had done some due diligence already in the area of Aurora, Colorado, and he decides, well, what the heck, you know, I'm going to go ahead and pull out the car and keep talking to the coach a little bit and see what's going on. And I think that that's where this staff is going to be successful. And, you know, you saw the 35 schools that Ed Foley had been to in the state of Nebraska. And I think you and I, you know, we understand that's not about each one of those high schools producing, a talented enough guy to play Division I football. Just, you know, maybe every 5 to 10 years, you know, it's not going to be this, you know, bountiful kind of thing where you're going to get all those high schools are going to turn out a bunch of talent, but you have the relationship there. So now you got one of the, you know, you got good ties back to one of the top, you know, the most talented teams in all of Colorado. And you have this amazing story to kind of go along with it. It's a success story. And honestly, I thought Barnes' film was fabulous. I don't think he did himself any favors with how he kind of went out there first with the wide receiver stuff. I thought he was clearly a better defensive back than he was a wide receiver, and the speed aspect of it obviously was huge, right? So just another guy that runs the 10.7 100, you know, there's only five 10.5 guys, you know, or faster in the class already. So Nebraska has definitely addressed a lot of speed when it comes to the 2023 recruiting class.
And I thought it was interesting, one of the things just now on the sort of class as a whole, but they, you know, obviously we've talked nonstop about just the numbers and you know, adding 40 plus new players to the roster when you include a couple guys that had been on it in the past and Betts and Garcia Castaneda who are going to end up back and at least go through spring with them. But you heard Matt Rhule talk about it, and you know, I said this the other day, like I'd use the word aggression in the way that they went about their business just as far as recruiting, and I think to a certain extent that's true. But there's also this sense, Munson, of hey, we have a lot of guys here. We don't know much about any of them, given that we had to watch mostly senior tape on the recruiting class, and then you know what we've seen of Nebraska over the last couple years. So spring is a really important time, and that they're going to go out there and guys are going to be fighting for jobs, and the coaches will have fresh eyes on everybody. Like I have a sense that this is really, from a number standpoint, going to, you know, really to a certain extent sort itself out. You know, I just think it's going to be a highly competitive time. And Matt Rhule made it clear, like, hey, I don't care who you are on the roster, how highly recruited you were, walk on scholarship. You know, there's no guarantees here, and that's sort of the message I think they wanted to get across.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think people, you know, obviously I think everybody's stuck on, well, you got to cut, there's 20 guys, you're at 105-ish, you know, kind of guys, you know, between the 2023 class, the transfer players, the other guys you're, you know, kind of bringing back. We're just that kind of roster number has really got some people kind of up in arms about how Nebraska's going to get back to it. Matt Rhule, he really was like that. He was really like that wet towel on all of it.
Yeah, he was just like, calm down. It's fine.
Yeah, calm down. The NCAA has ways, you know, that this stuff can happen. You know, that there's going to be, and I was, you know, I didn't have that line to use in my three and out a few weeks back. But I just look, it's going to become very clear. It's going to become very clear to the players that are on the roster currently that are going to go through winter conditioning, that are going to go through spring, and they're going to start seeing a picture. They're going to start seeing a picture of whether or not they fit the culture, whether or not they have caught the eye of the coaching staff, you know, or whether or not they're just wasting their time. And that also said, going back to something that Coach Rhule said that I thought it was so incredible, like the take when it comes to the portal and how these young men can control their own destiny and they can go out there and do something else about it. Now, the percentages aren't always in your favor of when you decide to jump into the portal and whether or not there's going to be a place for you to end up going as a result of that choice to leave. But I mean, it at least is a choice, and maybe the choice to stay, it has basically no, there's no goals. There's nothing that you can really achieve from where it is that you're kind of starting out from. And obviously I think everybody has to have, and at least I do, and maybe this is just me drinking the Kool-Aid so hard through the last 2 months. But I think people have got to be very, very interested and optimistic about how well this staff is going to recruit, because I felt like, you know, they got 6 players out of the state of Texas. Then they went out there and they grabbed, you know, a ton of players from all over the rest of the country. But I think that the one thing that the sad song of players that don't want to go to the middle of the country, and they don't want to go to a place that, you know, the topology is completely and totally flat, and they don't want to go to a place, and just the long litany of list of things that we've heard over and over and over again, Matt Rhule basically just blew that all apart in 2 months.
Yeah.
And that to me was so refreshing. So now if you get that kind of optimism and you've got that competitiveness, which he clarified is just, you know, it's not about the pelts on the wall. It's about just going out there and doing a fantastic job. And if you've got that kind of spirit, you know, with the coaching staff, I think it really could be something special, you know, with what they've got going right now. So I'm very optimistic about what we're going to see over the next 12 to 18 months.
You know what I think works for them really, and it's weird because, you know, just the way that we've talked about this specific thing over the years, especially with new coaching staffs, Matt Rhule and basically, if not all, the entirety of his staff, they were in that same spot as the recruits were, and they're trying to lure them to Nebraska. Matt Rhule says the same line that recruits get when they talk to you guys after their visits. I was blown away. I showed up at Nebraska and I didn't know what to expect. I thought it was just going to be, you know, a cornfield, and then a football stadium popped up out of nowhere. And then there was a whole town and there was nightlife and all that stuff. Matt Rhule says that stuff. He had those exact experiences too. So he can sell it. I actually think that sort of works for them, as much as we talk about, you know, staffs and knowing the place and being familiar with it and all that stuff. I think it works for them in terms of recruiting.
I think it's worked. It worked tremendously the last 2 months. I felt like the other added angle of that was, you know, they didn't have all the answers when it came to what the recruits and the recruits' parents were going to ask them on official visits. They didn't have the answers to those questions that they were always going to get. But guess what? They were going to get an answer to a question that they hadn't thought of yet, that they could go ahead and get answered, and they would have that answer going forward. So they just decided, hey, it's a little bit of a treasure hunt. We're going to go find out who has the answer to this question. Now we're going to get the answer for you. And then guess what? We now got the answer for ourselves, and we'll never have to go back and talk to that person again about how that works or this and that. So I felt like they were completely accepting of the situation that they were in, that they didn't have all the answers. I felt like there's this amazing kind of, I don't know, just honesty about the stories that they would say about.
I think it's humility too, you know?
Humility, grabbing dinner and going around a corner and finding this and seeing that, and just being blown away that all that stuff was there. And it's probably not a question that a lot of people appreciate that I ask of the recruits, that what were your thoughts about Nebraska going into the visit, particularly the guys that have never been there, right? And just say, you know, what were your thoughts about Nebraska going into the visit? And then what were your thoughts as you left? And it's just been like the two kids from Arlington Martin and listen to Ismail and Jeremiah talk about it. It's fascinating because there's a huge thing. There's a huge stereotypical, scene that's painted in picture that's painted in their heads from what they've heard from other people. And then they just get up there and it just gets blown apart. And they absolutely just love it. And they even say, like, Texas kids and the snow and stuff like that. They say, like, oh, I saw snow up there. I loved it. I was doing snow angels. And everything kind of blows apart because you just don't know what you're going to hear out of a 17 or 18-year-old kid's mouth.
Yeah. Munson, let's skip ahead a little bit to 2024. Well, I guess it's not skipping ahead now since we've wrapped up the 2023 class. But the headliner of the class is obvious, and the number one prospect is Dylan Raiola on their board and on everybody else's board, it seems like, as well. I think there's a really interesting situation brewing in quarterback recruiting in 2024 because you have Raiola, and they're obviously going to put every resource and thing they can into. I mean, they sent 9 coaches down there a couple of weeks ago, right? They're gonna really take their shot at Dylan Raiola, But after that, if they come up empty, which they may, I don't know, and you have a quarterback here in the state in Danny Kalen at Bellevue West, who is getting looks from everywhere, and he's visiting all the Midwestern schools, Colorado, so it's interesting how that sort of board, and I don't know how the board at quarterback looks for them. I think you probably start at one and then go down the line, but the possibility of them not getting Dylan Raiola. Obviously, everybody's like, all right, got to get Dylan. If they don't, then what happens?
Yeah, that's, I tell you what, based on some of the comments, there's going to be a nuclear meltdown of biblical proportions if that happens, first of all. But I think, secondly, you have a pretty tremendous consolation prize, and I feel really bad saying that about Daniel because I think Daniel is a fantastic quarterback. Put on the film, check him out with a couple of his wide receivers that he had last year and some of the throws that he's making, and he has gotten his own due and his own recognition, as through the spring as we've kind of gone along with things now. I mean, he's got offers from Florida State, from Miami, from Colorado, from Minnesota, Michigan State, some other Big Ten schools. I mean, the kid is not a stretch of a quarterback. And people that want to go back and say, well, maybe he's not even the Flores type, I would disagree. I think he's going to be a tremendous Division I quarterback. I think what Daniel Kalen has to understand, and I think what everybody really understands about the situation is this: Raiola is the number one quarterback in the nation. He announced his top four. Nebraska's in his top four. He's visited Nebraska a handful of times. Obviously, Daniel was there for at least one of those. I think it was the Friday Night Lights camp a couple of years ago. And I Nebraska has got to put their best foot forward to try to land the number one quarterback in the country. And he has to go through his own process. Maybe Nebraska isn't the right place for him in the first place. He has to go back and figure all this stuff out and see what's going to happen with Coach Rule and this offense and how things are going to kind of shake out. But if it turns out that there's a spot because Raiola decides to commit to somebody else other than Nebraska, he at least then has it as an option. It's quarterback position is just so strange because really realistically, nobody takes more than one, and they always do things like a phase ahead of every other position that's out there. So, he just has to be patient and let some things. There's like a couple key guys, and once those guys kind of come off the board, things kind of go crazy, and you will even see like offers. He'll get more offers as more guys come off the board. That's the more interesting part to watch.
Yes.
When guys come off the board, Daniel Kalen will get more and more interest from other schools. There's guys keeping him warm, I'm sure, right now because they know that other guys are not going to get him, but they have to keep things open to those other guys.
It's like the NFL draft. Once one of them comes off the board, all of a sudden they all start committing and the spots just fill up around the country.
Absolutely.
Boom, boom, boom. With that being said, is there any read for you on a timeline for Dylan? Are we even close to that? I think, with a quarterback of that caliber who like you said, is sort of the first domino, considering he's the number one player in the country, and he's going to have his pick at the spot. That smells like an earlier commitment to me.
It is. It's going to be an earlier commitment.
Okay, so where is the range of when we should be sort of, you know, bearing down on that?
I think it's going to be one of those things where he's already been out to USC. I think he'll get back to Nebraska as soon as things kind of open back up again in March and April. You know, he's got some other time here. I just don't feel like this thing is going to stretch, you know, much beyond the month of June. And that's really being kind, like, to the other players that are out there that the other schools right now are still trying to angle in on. You know, if a Nebraska misses or USC misses, obviously they're going to need to go back and probably continue to recruit Dylan just to see if they can get back into the equation. Like, if he goes and Kirby Smart decides to jump to the NFL or whatever. But that also gives the courtesy to the other schools to where they can go out there and find their guy. And that's certainly something that, you know, that they're very well aware of. But I think it's going to be a late spring, early summerish. Maybe he takes a handful of official visits and he should be done. I really feel like he's going to have this thing wrapped up very, very quickly.
Yeah. Okay. So there's your, loose-ish timeline, but I'm with you.
June, July. Much past the 4th of July, if he's still out there and he's still hanging out, I would put him on commit. I'd put everybody on commitment alert at any point.
Yeah, you just don't see it. Like, with that type of player and especially his position, I mean, those things happen pretty early. I mean, I wouldn't even be surprised. And I don't know how close he is, and he's got to see some things still. But I wouldn't be surprised if it happened in the spring at some point. Like, I just think that's the type of thing. And keep in mind, he's already committed before. And decommitted from Ohio State. So I don't know. I'm curious to see how that one unfolds, but we'll be watching, that's for sure. And we'll be asking Brian Munson about it every single week for the rest of the spring and summer. Munson, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Be good. See ya.
Brian Munson of HuskerOnline.com. See, that quarterback thing is really, really interesting, because he said it's a different game. It's not like, you know, you take one and then there's another one just sort of sitting out there. They kind of they fall more like dominoes, you know, and Dylan Raiola is the number, you know, the first one that gets pushed over. It doesn't have to go like that, but there's sort of these tiers of quarterbacks, I suppose, and one takes a spot, and then because you have all these schools that are going after the same tier or pocket of quarterbacks, and then all of a sudden spot fills up, and you know, usually that the quarterback thing is sort of wrapped up. Now things change late with staff changes and, you know, this and that, but usually I think those big time recruits and especially quarterbacks like to have things wrapped up by the time they are going into, it's definitely by the time they're going into their senior year, but, you know, in all likelihood, potentially before that. Let's see if Dylan gets out on some visits here in the during spring ball. Wouldn't be surprised to see him back out here in during spring for Nebraska.
And we will bother Dylan's father about it Wednesday on the show.
Is this an announcement?
And we mentioned it in passing last week while you were gone, but it's been confirmed. I mean, so assuming a sipple doesn't happen, where...
Hey. Respect Steve.
I don't know what else to call it. But yeah, we have Dylan's father booked on the show to talk about that, and I don't know, Rakuten or something.
What's Dylan's father's name?
Dom.
Dommy. Yeah, we'll talk to him next week about a variety of different topics. I'm sure his son will come up.
And Mint Mobile. I don't know what else.
Maybe his brother will come up as well.
Sure.
The importance of family. Yes, all of that. So that's Wednesday at noon.
Yes, I believe so.
Got it. We got a lot of different stuff sort of coming up next week, so we're trying to keep it all straight.
I got a whiteboard in the office I'm going to do after the show.
Yeah, you're sending me like calendar invites now. It's just...
Well, that one in particular.
Yeah.
Because you were away.
All right. Good stuff there from Munson. We'll come back. BC will join us later in the show today. We'll chat about what Matt Rhule had to say. We'll come back. We'll get into some other things. Some regarding Nebraska football, some not. How about a Tony Romo intervention? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Don't think it worked. Next on 1620 The Zone.